This Arkhamist podcast and reflection is produced on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung land. Everybody, welcome to a very weird and testing episode of Arkhamist Podcast. I'm just going to title it Just a Thought, just because my friend Steve, who I'll get to introduce himself later, wanted to pose a question with me the other day. But before we do, Steve, I'll let you take away, introduce yourself, and then I'll pose what the question is.
Sure. My name is Steve, and I am a graduate of architecture based in Melbourne.
The other day you posed a really interesting topic or question to me, which was, do you think there are such things as stupid questions or dumb questions? Because generally when you have these conversations, people would always say, oh, and don't be afraid to ask questions because there's no such thing as a stupid question. But I think evidently a lot of us deep down would always feel that there is such thing as a stupid question when we're talking.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. And even for me, like, I think I've come to the conclusion that there is no such thing as stupid questions, but I will still catch myself like thinking, oh, I don't want to say that. And I think it just comes from maybe knowing other people, I would say like at my level, probably knows the answer, or maybe that's just me making an assumption. But I kind of know that the only way you can ever move forward is to just get all your ideas out there and all your thoughts out there. And to not ask a stupid question is essentially like taking extra space in your brain. So it's like best to just get it out and just ask that thing, because it's also likely that there are actually a bunch of other people who are thinking that thing and don't want to say it. So to be the person to do that, it's really just kind of like flexing a muscle. And I think I spent a lot of my 20s not flexing that muscle as much as I should have, and only realizing it now that it is important to just get your thoughts out there or like ask those stupid questions.
Yeah.
Because if anything, it's probably like more, I think asking stupid questions later when you're a bit more developed in your career is probably more perplexing.
Yeah.
Like when you ask somebody, you know, that stupid question, it's probably then you do actually look kind of stupid asking a stupid question.
Yeah.
So it's also this realization that I would say I'm not junior anymore. And I've spent like so much of my 20s being either a student or a junior. It's almost like my youth is going away. And it's okay for young people to ask dumb questions.
I think when you first approached me on that topic, my first impression was mostly about pride. I think for me is I'm somebody who's very independent focused, or I'm quite independent in terms of when it comes to problem solving and finding solutions. So back then, before I dive straight into asking people questions, generally some of the things I prefer doing is writing down a huge list and see if I can tackle them one by one, just because it's a bit of an interruption when you come in and out asking your seniors questions like every 5-minute intervals, which is quite frustrating for some other people, which I wouldn't imagine. But then for me, I'm so used to, before I ask straight away, is I need to just step back and quickly assess whether I can do this. So it's a question of, can I quickly Google this, or do I remember there is a way that the office has shown us before, or do I just, how do I put it? Do I just try a few things to figure it out? Because I'd like to think that some of the questions I have is quite easily solved by, if you think about logic speaking and all. And I don't mind doing that, but I do know that some of my colleagues prefer asking just because they want to be of help. So I just think about my friend back when I was interning in Hong Kong, and I used to sit next to him, and he would always wonder why I never ask him questions. He said, I'm here, why don't you just ask me? And I think it's probably a similar experience with one of our other colleagues when I first started working here. And it's a matter of, because I'm so determined to find the solution for myself first before generating the other stuff, like before asking for help and all of that. So
yeah. I've got to say, I think I've explored a bit of all of that. Like, I've definitely had moments where I also just want to try figure it out myself. And there's something kind of fun about figuring it out yourself. It's like a little side quest, and you're like, ah, I knew I could do it. I just had to set my mind to it and just give it a crack by myself without bothering anyone. And I think there's like this weird spectrum. I remember in my last job, my boss, he like kind of had moments where he was, oh, come on, Steve, just figure it out yourself. Versus, oh, why didn't you ask me? You should have just asked me. I would have told you.
Yeah.
And it's like I almost like couldn't find that right balance.
Yeah.
So I guess both sides have kind of had good and bad experiences with.
Mm. I'd like to think about whether sometimes when people say you could have just solved this yourself is a case of, is it because sometimes to those people it's so obvious that they just get a little bit frustrated. And also, I don't know how many years it has been since they've done that type of procedure.
Yeah.
And that when they step away from it, that sense of empathy or sympathy decreases over time. Because I think sometimes I'm a little bit like that with the people I work with, because for me, it's so obvious that it's in front of me. But I sometimes forget that. My mom and I were having this conversation the other day saying that sometimes when people are in a bit of a panic, the obvious is not so obvious to them as well. And I think there's that issue of when people say, oh, it's so simple, it's just right in front of them.
That's interesting. Now it kind of makes me think maybe I've struggled to ask stupid questions in the past because I'm too busy thinking about the other person's reaction. And that's like, I don't know, that's really hard because you're never going to know what someone else is thinking. And it's funny, actually, now that I think about it, I'm more comfortable with asking stupid questions with people I trust really well.
That's true.
Or people I have a really good working relationship with.
Yeah.
So that's kind of okay. Mm-hmm. Even last week, actually, I wouldn't call this asking a stupid question, but I kind of drew a sectional detail. And as I was explaining it, I drew the top hats running the wrong way. And I was casually going on about it. And then my colleague was like, oh, by the way, it's like that. And I was like, oh, duh, obviously. I was just thinking about it. I was like, oh, that was so dumb. Maybe I should have either just clarified how it was meant to be drawn, or I should have done a bit more homework before I'd approach the senior colleague. But I guess it's like you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I think it's also that pressure, that expectation, saying, going back to what you said earlier on, saying that you're not a junior anymore. And so therefore there's that expectation of, well, we don't know what is the expectation of us in terms of how much we know and don't know. Because even sometimes there are a few simple details which I'm pretty sure I can guess it, even though I haven't approached it before. But then I think it's a matter of putting the pride and fear aside and have that change in mindset of, I'd rather not know now than demonstrating and not know later, or just, you know, be too proud on the spot and then therefore make a fool of myself later on. I think it's that problem that we all carry during architecture school of that perfectionist mindset that is quite detrimental to a lot of us.
Yeah, as well. That's so true. Taking it back to uni, I definitely have been thinking a lot about like my past studio projects. Oh, if anything, I was too afraid to iterate. Let me rephrase that. I would iterate in my own like personal sketchbook or something like that. But I never thought, oh, I was like, I'm not going to show teachers that because it's just, I know it's a shit design,
oh, no,
a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then I was just showing like that one final, like perfect idea. But if anything, it was far from perfect. I was probably better off just showing every single iteration, you know, all 9 of these mistakes and then the one that was like kind of okay.
Yeah.
Just to at least spark a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's really just showing your, I guess, showing your tutor your thought process. Like that's the point, man. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think one of the issues with architecture is that your predicament is pretty much, I think, 90% of the students across the board. Because back then, when the two of us were tutoring in uni, I'm sure we had a lot of students whom we know are very capable and have a lot of thought process, but it's because of that perfectionist mindset. And I sometimes wonder if it's a problem in uni in that there is always such an emphasis on the end product, because in reality it always is end product,
yeah,
but they never emphasize on the process, which I think it's always exacerbated by the media, is that it's always the pretty picture but it's never the back ends of things. Which I think it's quite a shame.
Yeah.
So
just back on that, with your experience with teaching, did you have instances where like your students weren't asking the stupid questions, or like you kind of wanted them to be a bit more comfortable with that?
If I think about it, so far my teaching experience is still limited to first years, and then in terms of recruiting as well. I mean, I've done a few master's studios, well, one master's studio last year, thanks to my friend Gina. And I feel that a lot of them don't know what to ask, which I think...
Yeah.
Because it happens to us at work as well, yeah. Right? We don't know until we try something. So I think sometimes when I come into a studio, I don't have the expectation of them asking us stupid questions, well, stupid in quotations. But it's more that I think they will have questions after we challenge them. I think the onus is the tutor needs to know what type of questions should be asked, so that it hopefully stimulates them to think a little bit more in their design process as well. Don't know about your experience.
Yeah, that's actually a good way to put it. Yeah, well, I mean, my experience is fairly limited as well, just teaching one semester for second year students.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I brought up that question because I definitely remember moments where I would like talk about something or explain a brief and then I'd go, oh, does anyone have any questions? And they just wouldn't say anything. But you know, I guess you'd make that assumption of, if they've got no questions, then surely they'll just nail the brief or like do the homework. But then yeah. It's like the following week, some of the stuff was a bit of a mixed bag and I kind of thought, oh, well, you had an opportunity to ask. Why didn't you?
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask?
Yeah.
So that's really hard, actually. Maybe they just had to do the thing and I guess marinate in it themselves.
Yeah.
To then come back with the questions. I don't know.
Because if I think about my experience during first year, I feel that my questions were generally asked by my peers asking each other, because I don't know if all of us don't have the confidence in our tutors. Not saying that it's... I think there's a mixture of intimidation and not knowing exactly whether we can fully trust our tutors, because as you said earlier, you tend to feel more comfortable if you trust the people you work with before asking those questions, right? Mm. And also a brief, unfortunately, has so many interpretations and I don't know if a tutor can explain all those interpretations for you. And so when I think about to my first studio project where Elliot and I were referencing, you have this room of your negative space and you have to transform into three different types of prototypes, but it didn't make sense because how do you get inspiration from your room when it's just pretty much a cube? It's so I thought you're carving the space out to have this sculpture, whereas my friends all had these different types of follies. And I felt that I was learning by observation. I think that was something I learned about myself, is that asking, yes, does help me learn, but I feel that I need to observe how other people do it for me to also learn how to improve myself.
100%. I would agree with that. It's like seeing examples.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even need to be good examples.
Yeah.
It's just seeing the general kind of direction everyone's taking it.
Yeah.
To kind of slowly kickstart you. And maybe it's just because we're very visual people.
Probably.
It's like we need to see example plan first or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then on top of that, if we think about our students, maybe that's how majority of them learn, or again, is that they've yet to build a relationship with us when we're teaching. So then therefore they feel a bit more comfortable in asking the questions. But I'd also like to preface that is that I feel that a lot of students, when you first start architecture, they already have a very solidified idea of what architecture is. So I'm just going to say the stereotypical skyscrapers, building a residential house. It's never an abstract museum or a blob of some sort.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's like, I don't know. It's like first year we need to open their mind a little bit. I was going to say break them, but...
No, don't say that.
It's like I don't know.
Make them unlearn.
Make them unlearn. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, make them unlearn and go through a period of like, oh God, like this is not architecture. This makes no sense. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And then they finally see the light or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I actually had that experience. It's like my first time doing something conceptual. Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking like, oh, this is not the course for me. I should just be doing a completely different degree. But then I just trudged through it because I was past the census date and I was like, no, it's just keep going. I was like, whatever. Like, I'm going to have to pass it anyways. But then once I did it, I looked back and I was like, oh, I don't know why I was low about this. It's just like,
I think it comes down to attitude and whether you constantly second guess yourself as well. Because I think I chose architecture because I really don't know what else I was going to be doing. And it took me a while for me to start to understand the things I like, things that I find difficult, and when things made sense for me as to what architecture is. And I find that for some people, it takes them a while for them to realize what architecture means to them. And I think that's also the reason why we have a lot of people dropping out of our courses, because of that expectation and whether they're ready to reconcile with the very new expectation architecture education has set up for us in general.
Yeah. So, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, we'll just keep it short because mm-hmm. this segment is called Just a Thought. But thanks for bringing that question, Steve. Really appreciate it.
No, all good. Thanks for having me on. Before, for anybody listening or if anyone will be listening, I asked Kim if she wanted some water before while she was setting up, and her response was in Cantonese, but she said it really fast. And I was like, did she say yes or no? I was like, and I didn't want to ask a stupid question of what did you say exactly? But I was like, I'm just going to get some water anyways. And I was just silent. But yeah.
No, what? I appreciate it. I do drink a lot of water, so I'm a good. Oh.
But what did you say in Cantonese? Do you remember?
Oh, you go ho, you go am go.
What does that mean?
If you can, that would be great.
Ah, if you can, that'll be great. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, you don't speak Cantonese that often. Yeah. But actually, one more thing. I'll add an addendum to that. Here's my other question for the audience who are listening. What is your definition of a stupid when attached question afterwards, right? Because again, stupid has a connotation to it, but can we rephrase it as well? Like, given that there are a lot of words can be rephrased depending on what type of context we've put into it.
Yeah.
So yeah, food for thought.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.